الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في الكلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم بعد الذي جاءك من العلم ما لك من الله من ولي ولا نصير وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحيا سنة من سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تمسك بسنتي عند فساد أمتي فله أجر 100 شهيد أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders in Islam. There are certain phrases, certain statements that we have been hearing repeatedly in the past and that intensify as the days go by. We continuously keep hearing things like there's a war against the Muslims, there's an onslaught against Islam. There are various efforts being made to annihilate the Muslims. And without doubt, this is all true. And it is not only true today. The history of Islam bears testimony to the fact that this has happened ever since the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was taken on this earth. Where, as time passed, the forces of Haqq and Batil came to loggerheads with one another, and efforts were made to exterminate Islam and the Muslims. So what we are observing today in the world, as horrific as it is heart-wrenching as it is nothing unique to the Ummah at large. There were those instances where the Sahaba became so overcome with the persecutions, with the trials, with the tribulations that were coming upon them, that on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the shadow of the Kaaba Sharif, and one Sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says to him that, Ya Rasulullah, what is happening to the Muslims? What amount of persecution and hardship is coming upon them? How great that suffering and the difficulties are upon them. Curse these disbelievers and cause the wrath of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to descend upon them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed him and said that you are being very hasty. There were those occasions in the nations of the past where a person, because of his iman and because he was taking the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he would be brought وَيُمْشَتُ بِأَمْشَاطِ الْحَدِيدِ مَا دُونَ لَحْمِهِ وَعَظْمِهِ. He would be combed with combs of steel to the extent that his flesh would be separated from his bones. وَيُؤْتَى بِالْمِنْشَارِ. And a saw would be brought, and one of them would be cut from his head downwards until his body was in two pieces. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. But you are being very hasty. So these things have happened in the past, and what we are seeing today, whether it is in Palestine, whether it is in India, whether it is in Burma, which many of us are not aware of, whether it is in any other part of the world, the genocide that is taking place against the Muslims, this is a reality, it is a fact, it is a heart-wrenching thing, but this is something which is not unique. Yes, indeed, when we hear of the horrific incidents, it shakes us immediately. It pulls at our hearts. It even opens out our pockets. It makes us want to do something to the extent that we can. And we should. This is our duty, it's our responsibility. But having understood that this is an onslaught, this is an attack on Islam and the Muslims, this is a genocide that is taking place, but this is the less dangerous war. This is the less dangerous war, and it is not that fatal as another war that is also taking place. You might wonder what can be worse than at this point in time in India alone, more than 25,000 people have been made shaheed, entire villages have been destroyed, Muslim businesses have been razed to the ground. What is happening in Palestine is in front of us. What is happening in other parts of the world is in front of us. What is worse than this? How can this be the less dangerous war? And these things are not haphazard things. They are not things that have happened coincidentally. They are well planned and very carefully thought out schemes that are now being systematically executed. This is not something that happened by coincidence, but it is still the less dangerous war. Another simultaneous war has been taking place from a long time, and a far more dangerous war. And what is this war? This war is attacking at the heart of every believer. The purpose of this war is to change the mindset of the Muslim. He must keep his name, he must call himself Muhammad, call himself Ahmad, call herself Fatima and Aisha, and call themselves the Muslim names. But besides the name, they must be like us, like the West, like the people who are the enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep their names, the rest of it must be like us. And this war has been taking place over centuries. When the Crusades failed to annihilate the Muslims and to destroy the Muslims, then the silent strategy was put into place. Change the Muslims from within, then you won't have to attack them from outside. When the Muslims were changed from within, then the Khilafah in Turkey dropped without any battle. And that Khilafah, which came down for so many years, became history, totally wiped out of the face of the earth without any blood being spilt at all. What happened? Those who had the names of Ahmad and Muhammad, their hearts were changed from within. They began doing what the enemies wanted to do from a long time. Now outwardly we also, alhamdulillah, have deen within us also. We have a certain amount of deen outside as well. We have many things which we are fulfilling, alhamdulillah. We find that day to day the musallis increase in the masajid, summa alhamdulillah. The month of Ramadan comes, the spirit of Islam is evident. When the time comes to open our pockets out to those who are suffering throughout the world, then the spirit of the Muslims is evident. Then there are those who will be careful and considerate about fulfilling the sunnahs of salah, for example. That I go to perform my salah, how must I do it in the proper sunnah manner? They will come to the ulama and inquire. There are those who will then go further. They will be concerned about how to conduct their day-to-day lives in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the sense of, for example, eating, in the aspects of sleeping, the aspects of perhaps dressing as well. But how many of us have created that mindset that things in the line of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that mindset which the West is attacking, that you must think like them, do what you want to do, but think like them. If a person is having a wedding in his home, then that wedding must be conducted in the way that they conduct their weddings. If the person is running his business, then that business must be run on the lines that they dictate. Where did the interest system come from? Interest was even abolished in the scriptures of the Jews and the Christians. But the West brought the system, and every Muslim businessman, illa mashallah, alhamdulillah, the awakening is coming. But the first thing that comes into a Muslim businessman's mind when there is something that he wishes to do or some problem that he wishes to solve is the bank manager and the OD and the facility And those various things come immediately in the Muslim mind. What is this? This is that Western mindset. That if you think like us, do what you want to do, think like us. If you're a businessman, run your business how we dictate it. If you are holding your social gatherings, do it how we dictate it. If you want to live as a father in your home, then do it how we dictate it. You must discuss certain things with your children, which we say you must discuss. Be open with them. This is a time that you need to have that open communication with your children and talk to them about everything. What that end result will be, whether it will be counterproductive, whether it will lead to those very things that you want to prevent them from, that is a different issue. You must become a very liberal-minded person, where the definition of a family will be also changed, and same-gender families will be acceptable in society. You must also think the same. You must have no objection against that. This is that Western mindset which is being created. And where is it being created from? How is it being created? Where is the attack coming from? We hear these things and we think that we are immune to it. But have we considered how many times when sitting in whichever form of the media we are sitting in front of, whether it is a newspaper, which as the days go by has become more pornographic in nature, what is being pushed forward with that? 50 years ago, the way that the woman of the Yahud and Nasara dressed was more modest than many Muslims who have the Iman in their hearts today dress. Many women who dressed, or generally the women who dressed among the Yahud and Nasara 50 years ago, they dressed more modestly than women who have Iman in their hearts are dressing today. Where has this come from? Where did this change come from? That those women who have the Yahud and Nasara dressed 50 years ago will be embarrassed about the dressing of many Muslim women today. The way that people conduct themselves in society, this, the various ways in whichever aspect of society it might be in social life, the way that a person, despite claiming to be a mu'min, but conducts himself in the way that the West has dictated, all this is coming via the very forceful influence of the media, which is also not a haphazard thing. The newspapers are taking a specific line, which they want to promote certain things, certain ideas, certain things which they call values. Whether it is the television, whether it is any other form of media, that is happening all the time. And a person sits there passively, absorbing everything that is being said to him. Something is said once, it says twice, it is said thrice. Sooner or later, a person starts believing it. There is one story about one person who was walking from the market back home, and he was taking along a goat that he had bought. And on the way, there were some people who now had other ideas that somehow we're going to make this person part with his goat and we're going to take it away from him. So now they thought of a plan. As he was passing, one person stood on one point on the road, and when this person passed along, so he says, "I see you have a very nice dog with you." The person became irritated. He said, "Can't you..." Well, he just didn't even care much about this person's talk. He says, "Can't you see? Perhaps you have some problem with your eyes. You need to see an optician. This is a goat, it's not a dog." Nevertheless, he continued on his way. Little down the road, the second person was standing there, and he says to him, "That is a very nice dog you got." So this person also again didn't pay much attention, but something started coming within him that, what is this person talking about as well? Then he went down the road a little further, and the third person was standing there, and suddenly he says that, "What a wonderful dog you have." Now this person quietly went along, but he's doubting now, does he have a goat or a dog? And when he went down further the road, the fourth person was standing there, and he said, "What a wonderful dog you have." He left it behind and carried on walking. With that repetition of the thing which was totally unfounded, baseless, wrong, over and again, the same thing is being said to him. And now he starts believing the batil as haq. He starts regarding the haq as batil. He is himself confused. He doesn't know what is what. And then he starts following what is being told to him. Now, have we decided to take that decision in our life that we want to be safe from our minds being corrupted? We want to be safe from our hearts being corrupted? We want to be safe from bringing our families to that level where the woman of the Yahud and Nasara 50 years ago would be embarrassed at our daughter's dressing today? Are we in that position? Are we ready? Have we the courage to make those decisions, to throw out those tools of propaganda, We find that the month of Rabiul Awwal is around the corner. When the month of Rabiul Awwal will come, we will sing the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, we'll get sawab for that. It's a very rewarding thing. It will perhaps further kindle the love that we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. We will hear some talks regarding the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will hear the various aspects of his life regarding the sacrifice he made for deen, regarding the concern he showed for us. For example, that narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it is mentioned that once Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha saw him in a very good mood, saw him very happy, and she decided to take advantage of that opportunity, and she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she says, make dua for me. That was what she decided to take opportunity, take hold of the opportunity to ask for dua. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua, Allahumma ighfir li Aisha ma taqaddama min dhanbiha wa ma ta'akhkhar wa ma asarrat wa ma a'lanat. Oh Allah, forgive all the shortcomings of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Whatever might have happened in the past or in the future, whatever might have happened openly or quietly, any shortcoming, any mistake, forgive it. What a wonderful dua by Sayyidul Rusul, by the master of all the messengers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is overjoyed. And in that ecstasy and joy, her head comes right down into her lap. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks her, Ayasurruki du'a'i ya Aisha? That has my dua made you happy, O Aisha? She says, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why shouldn't it make me happy? What a wonderful dua you made. You are the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies and says, Innaha la da'wati li ummati ba'da kulli salatin. This is the dua I make for my ummah after every salah. That concern which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed for us, perhaps that will also kindle our hearts. But then what? When the month of Rabiul Awwal has gone, then what? Are we going to be, once again, after having sung the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then again we follow the line of somebody else? After September 11th, open declarations have been made. Either you are with us or you are not with us. The time has come for us to make a declaration in our life as well. Where are we standing? In whose line are we standing? Are we standing in the line of the so-called superpowers who want to annihilate Islam? Are we going to accept their mindset? Are we going to accept their ideals? Are we going to accept their way of life? Are we going to bring our daughters and sisters to dress like their daughters and sisters? Are we going to make our businesses run in the way that they have dictated? Or are we standing in the line of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in? Are we going to follow that way of life? Are we going to make that mindset our mindset? Are we going to make those things that made Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy make us happy? Are we going to make those things which grieved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam make us grieve? One person who was a very good poet, he compiled some excellent poetry regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very, very beautiful poetry. And this poetry spread far and wide. One person far away, in Persia all the way, he read this poetry and was so overcome. He said, no matter where, how far this person is in those years, when there was no forms of transport that we have today, says this hundreds of, thousands of kilometers or miles, I will travel, I need to meet this person. What a wonderful thing this person has written. He travels all the way to India. And when he comes, he finds out, inquires about the person, where is this person, where can I find him? Somebody said, you'll find him there. He just went around the corner to the barber's place. When he comes around and he sees this person sitting on the barber's chair, and the barber is busy shaving off his beard. What? He had traveled all the way from thousands of kilometers and come. With what enthusiasm he had come, with what feelings he had come, and now he was totally stunned. The person who was sitting there also took one look at him and understood what is happening, what is going through his mind. This person asked him in Persian, Chekunam, what are you up to? What are you doing? In other words, by his physical presence there, he is saying, you don't know what I have gone through to come to this place, what feelings I came with, what respect and honor was in my heart for you, and I have come to this place here. This person also read his mind, he understood. So he said, Rishmi Tarashi, Dile Kasi Nami Tarasham. I'm merely shaving my beard. I'm not shaving somebody's heart off. So this person who had traveled all the way, he answers to him and says, that indeed you are shaving your beard, but Walakin Dile Rasulullah Tarasham, you are shaving the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We too have to judge in our lives. This is one example. Each one of us have our life in front of us. that mindset that we have. There might be certain things outwardly which we are fulfilling. Perhaps we have maybe our dressing perhaps according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe our social lives to some extent are in the way that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has thought. But each one of us has to think, what mindset do I have? Do I think in terms of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Have I developed that concern? What effort have I made to learn one Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There is one incident which I have mentioned many times, and I recall mentioning it here also many years ago, where on one occasion, whether it was inside the masjid or outside the masjid, whichever part of the place you could have been, the only thing you overheard at that time was something about tennis. So this is many years ago, perhaps this incident might be maybe 15 years ago or something. So one person who was at that time about 12, 13 years old, youngster, who I knew very well, so I suddenly out of the blue asked him, while talking to him, that who is number one on the Wimbledon circuit? And he gave me the name. Number two, number three, number four, right up to number 10. Foreign names, strange sounding names, tongue twisters. And he's not hesitating at all, and he's just rattling off all the names. And after he rattled off all the names, and he was getting happy as he was going along, that perhaps now I'm going to give him some prize. And now when he finished off up to number 10, and then I asked him, how many daughters did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have? And now he started scratching his head, and he gave the wrong answer. He says three. What were the names of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he knew the name of one daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is the condition of our children. Whoever's child it is our child. Then what have we taught them? We taught them 10 names of people who, if Allah forbid, they don't get hidayat, they themselves are heading for the fire of Jahannam and taking along thousands others with them. Their names with respect, with honor, with admiration, we have taught our children. Whether we taught it directly, nobody sat with their child and said, this is number one, this is number two, this is number three. We provided the tools. We provided the environment. We provided everything that will teach the child that. And how much have we provided the child which will teach him the names of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much have we provided that environment, those tools, those facilities, all those things that go with it, the company of the ulama-i kiram, the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the company of the pious? How much have we made this available to ourselves, to our children, so that they will learn not just the names of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the names of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ma'in, they will learn their life. They will learn the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will learn how to follow that life. This is not theory. One talk is not going to change anything. It requires certain decisions in our heart. The month of Rabiul Awwal will come. We will sing the praises of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we will get rewarded for, inshallah. But that is not going to bring the change that is required. The ayat of the Quran Kareem that I recited right at the beginning, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. That the Yahud and the Nasara, the Jews and the Christians, will never be pleased with you. They will be never happy with you. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Until you follow their creed and way of life. They are not going to be happy about you making your beard half the size, or you dressing up just like them. They want to change your mind as well. They want to make you think like them, so that when you have the first thing in your business, you think of the bank manager. When you have the first problem somewhere, you think of what they think. You have the first problem in your social life, you think of their marriage counselors. They want to change your mind to think like them. The first time you think of anything about clothing, you think about their style of clothing. You feel embarrassed to dress the way that the Sahaba dressed. They want to change your mind. They're not happy with just some cosmetic changes. They want to change your mind. وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. Say to them, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the only guidance is the guidance that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has descended and revealed. The guidance of the Quran Kareem and the guidance of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the only guidance. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. The answer to our problems is in this ayat of the Quran Kareem. The onslaught we are talking about in the Ummah, and all the problems and difficulties, and we ask, where is the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? The answer to that is in this ayat of the Quran Kareem. Allah ta'ala says, the address is to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly, but the people who are really being addressed is us. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If you, O Prophet of Allah, where was even the chance, even the furthest thoughts of it ever being possible that that Nabi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who was masoom, who was sinless, who was sent down for the hidayat of mankind, would ever think of following the Yahud and the Nasara. Who brought down that way of life where he said, Khaliful Yahud, opposed the way of the Yahud. There was no question of him ever thinking of it, but Allah ta'ala addresses him to emphasize the point to us. That even if you follow them, وَلَيْنِ اتَّبَعَتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, follow their desires, the way that they want you to go about things. بَعْدَ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, after this knowledge, after this hidayat, after this Quran, after this sunnah has been given, مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِ وَلِيِّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ, there will be no guardian, no friend, and no helper for you from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then you must ask for your help from the superpowers of the world, from the United Nations, from all those who want to stab you from the back. Go and ask them from the front. They will show some small hand in the front and they will stab you from the back. Because al-kufru millatun wahida, the kufr, whichever nation it can be, whichever creed it can be, al-kufru millatun wahida, it is all one nation. This is the solution to our problems. We have to bring the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our lives, not just in certain aspects only, in every aspect, and more so we have to now create that mindset in our own lives, in our own minds, in our children, where there is that hatred, that deep hatred for the ways of the West, which when that will come, the love of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq of truly loving from within, loving the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just in our hearts, but every action of our lives, every word and deed displays that love from within also. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.